Since the days of our founding fathers, justice has always been blind. Now,
fear not, citizen.
She's dumb.
Justice will be served. You're in good hands.
Ow, ow.
Because Pauly Shore has just been served
a jury duty notice. Look, it's the juice. Run, OJ, run.
Now, a nation waits for answers.
They picked a jury. They're serving tuna salad for lunch. Tuna salad for lunch.
A jury sacrifices all personal comforts.
Welcome to your new home away from home.
Lifestyles of the rich and sequestered.
And a murder suspect puts his life in the hands of the people.
So what do you think?
About what, you're sleeping or you're drooling?
Up against impossible odds.
You are the sexiest creature I've ever seen, Letsana.
One man stands alone.
And that is why you elected me,
jury foreman.
To protect our honor.
Counsel will approach the bench. What are you doing here?
I didn't think it was fair that you guys got to have your own little secret powwow over here while we didn't get to listen. It's not fair.
To defend our freedom.
Number six, sit down!
And most of all...
to pie.
To milk the system for everything it's worth.
Guilty!
This spring...
That's the peanut call.
Pauly Shore is out for justice. Jury duty.
Your girlfriend's here to kiss you goodbye.
Say hi to Judge Ito.
Hello!
Hey!
Think we can squeeze a little juice?
I feel like a duck-billed platypus.
Ow!
Dude, check out the knot. It's the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Let's go, Tybalt! Great adventures await!
Hey, buddy. Welcome to Dystopian Dance Party. This is You're the Weasel. We are talking about Pauly Shore movies for an entire year, but only once a month, which is the only way it makes it palatable. My name is Callie.
My name is Zach. And
today we're talking about jury duty. Oh, my bad.
Yes.
I talked over you.
No, it's fine. I just realized that we didn't decide who was going to keep talking. So you get a little glimpse behind the curtain.
Right. Well, not the first time. This is the reason that I... it might have been Biodome, but this was like the era of Pauly Shore movies that I was like, we have got to... do this. So I think this was when I watched this one, because it was maybe 2 years ago, and
yeah.
I was like, oh my god, I think I texted you at like 4 a.m.
This was the one, yeah, because it was the milk, the cream machine,
yeah,
sequence.
Because I was like, oh my god, have you seen Jury Duty? I was like, it opens up with a strip club scene where Pauly Shore is a stripper and he's dressed like a milkman. And I was like, why haven't we watched this yet? And you just texted back. I texted that in the middle of the night because I have like just the worst sleep schedule. And you texted back like at 10 a.m. the next day, like, I think you answered your own question.
Well, we watched it.
So this will be my second time watching it. And I'm just going to say it. I actually really enjoyed this movie. I like
yeah,
this one.
You know,
it's a hell of a lot better than In the Army Now.
I agree. When we do that tier list, right, my S tier hasn't changed. So that's...
It never will. Because as we discussed in the minisode, like there was a peak where on downhill. I don't care what our commenters say, that Pauly Shore's career is in decline. It is. It's in decline. That's okay, right, though, because this is still an enjoyable watch, but like it will never change our favorite era.
Yeah, but I did think it was funnier than it could have been, arguably funnier than it had a right to be. especially when you look at the critical reception, which this is by far, critically and commercially, the biggest failure of any of the movies we've
which
talked about.
Is crazy to which me is pretty impressive. This one it's impressive, but it's also like In the Army Now sucked so bad.
Yeah,
but this one actually had some redeeming qualities.
I kind of think it might be one of those things where it's like within The Army Now, it was still running on the fumes of that was the last Disney movie, right? You know, so it had that behind it. This was his Disney contract expired. And so he did this movie with TriStar. In the article that we've talked about a few times, the old Spin article, Beyond the Weezick, he said it was doing the movie was a semi-act of desperation because his contract was up with Disney. He doesn't seem to have a lot of love lost for this movie, and neither does anyone else. I thought this was interesting. So the budget was $21 million, which that's already interesting because that seems high to me. Like what about this cost $21 million?
Right. I guess probably training the dog, maybe?
I guess. Yeah, the dog is pretty fucking amazing. Yeah, the dog is impressive. So maybe that it was. Yeah, it was all dog training. And it grossed $17 million in the box office. So this movie lost $4 million. It is a true bomb. And then, you know, we talk a lot about Rotten Tomatoes scores. This has a 0% score on Rotten Tomatoes. That feels remarkable. Like, how many movies have a 0%? According to Wikipedia, as of 2023, only 40 films with more than 20 reviews have received a 0%.
Wow.
Although, to be fair, this is only based on 14 reviews. So, you know, maybe if 6 more people reviewed it, it would be...
All right, well, I'm going to join
Rotten. I feel like I would give it at least a 5 or 6 out of 10, right? It's not... I wouldn't give it a totally, like, absolute garbage. I made it through the movie.
What did Deuce Bigel, European Gigolo, get?
That's a great question. Let's see. 9%. But that has 99 reviews. I haven't seen Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, but I'm willing to.
I did last night.
Okay. what was your verdict?
Jury Duty better. I like Jury Duty better.
I believe that because.
I feel like Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo. I mean, the similarities between Rob Schneider and Pauly Shore, like, they're both just kind of comedians that nobody likes.
Right.
Who had a very specific time where they were popular. I think
right.
that Rob Schneider, you know, has Adam Sandler. He's in like the Adam Sandler camp. So obviously
exactly.
that helps him along.
Yeah, but Pauly like, Shore needed to make friends with Adam Sandler, I think is what we're learning.
I know, he would still probably be in movies. I personally, between the two, because I've seen them both recently, like within the last 2 days, I don't know. I like Jury Duty better. And Stanley Tucci is in it.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci is in it. And at first I thought he was very underused. I was like, it's crazy how Stanley Tucci got such a high billing in this movie. But there's a twist. And then there's a lot more Tucci than you think you're bargained for. So that was a nice surprise. Yeah, here's a couple of highlights from reviews from the Wikipedia page. Leonard Maltin gave it a bomb rating in his book Movie and Video Guide, but suggested even that rating may be too high. Roger Ebert said on his show At the Movies with Gene Siskel that Pauly Shore was the cinematic equivalent of long fingernails drawn very slowly and quite loudly over a gigantic blackboard, and noted that although his co-host Gene Siskel disliked Chris Farley, he would rather attend a Dusk to Dawn Chris Farley film festival than sit through any 5 minutes of Jury Duty. Siskel agreed, referring to Shore as aggravating. Ebert estimated that Shore's appeal must be limited to people whose self-esteem and social skills are so damaged that they find humor or at least relief in at last encountering a movie character less successful than themselves. Does that make you feel seen?
Yeah, they're not wrong. I will say, though, it's so funny because I feel like I never hear a bad thing about Chris Farley now. And I think part of that is because he's dead.
Right. But also, I mean, that I feel helps.
Like there's just like a kind of like difference in how people view comedians from that era where like the people who were older and probably didn't get it as much aren't the relevant voices anymore.
Yeah. Everybody in comedy in the 90s was considered a buffoon. You know, Chris Farley, Jim Carrey, honestly, pretty much everybody except for Mike Myers. Mike Myers was like the thinking man's comedian. And look how this has turned out. You know, I think the himbos won. The buffoons won.
I wonder if they did, though, because I know that, well, I in my opinion, but I feel like most people still respect Mike Myers, and like I've been seeing all this stuff about how people who are probably a little bit younger than me actually really loved The Cat in the Hat. Of course, right. People really love Shrek.
Right.
And so, like, I wonder if that's actually true, if that's just our perception of it, because it's like obviously people hated The Love Guru, but right. People still really love Austin Powers. Like with this series, I think most people had an opposite idea of Mike Myers than what we came away with.
Right. I have been seeing a lot, like, you know, they just announced Shrek. Well, I mean, they've been threatening us with Shrek 4 since basically Shrek 4 came out. You know, they've been dangling that over our heads. And then I guess it finally got greenlit. And there's all this excited news like, oh, Mike Myers and Cameron Diaz are coming back. I'm like, what were Mike Myers and Cameron Diaz doing that we thought was so important that they wouldn't come back for Shrek 5?
Eddie Murphy, what the fuck has Eddie Murphy been doing?
Working on Norbit 2? Right. Like, this is not the achievement that you think it is. Like, of course, this is probably the biggest paycheck any of them are getting for years.
Yeah,
you know?
Man, if I could get paid, I would be in Shrek 5.
Right. I will be in Shrek 5 if somebody asks me. I don't know why they would want it, but I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, how much does it pay? My friend Bridget sent me this meme from Reductress that says, Second Coming of Christ pushed back to avoid clashing with Shrek 5 release. When I found out the news, I remember I put on my story something like, seems like the end of the world. I was really hoping that the real end would come before Shrek 5 came out.
Yeah.
Seems like that's something else that we have to contend with.
I know. You know, we can't leave our houses because of climate change, but we'll all be watching Shrek 5. So anyway, but let's talk about it. Let's talk about a good movie, Jury Duty. The last thing I want to say in terms of background is it was directed by John Fortenberry, who was, he came out of Lorne Michaels Broadway Video, not a huge filmography, which is probably related to the fact that he directed Jury Duty, which lost $4 million as we discussed. So, his first movie was a mockumentary, like a Madonna mockumentary called, Medusa, Dare to be Truthful. I have not heard of that. Well, People, according to the cover, People magazine called it scathingly funny. And then he did A Night at the Roxbury, which I have seen. I think I like Jury Duty more than Night at the Roxbury.
I 100% do.
It's been a while, and it doesn't help that,
the
like...
The funniest part of Night at the Roxbury was the part, like with many SNL skits turn movies, it was right. The head bobbing part that happened in the sketch, and after that it's like I don't need to know anything more about these characters lives.
Yeah, we don't need these guys' backstory. What hubris, like 90s SNL, that whole every skit getting a movie. What a
the
crazy
only
time
one that was any good was Wayne's World.
Yeah, but they're everyone, the ladies man got a movie, you know.
I recently watched The Ladies Man, probably around the time that I watched Jury Duty for the first time. And I keep going into these movies, not Jury Duty, I knew I was going to love that one.
Right.
But like these other ones where I'm like, this is going to suck. And I'm just putting it on so that I can see, and in 5 minutes I'll turn it off. And then I end up enjoying it. So I don't know what that says about my mental state.
It seems like John Fortenberry, you know, he made this handful of movies in the 90s. Oh, I think he went into television. That makes sense. He does quite a bit of TV work now. He was doing mostly TV work at the time. So that's one reason why his filmography seems so light. Because it looked like when I was looking at just the films, it was like Jury Duty, Night at the Roxbury, and then nothing for like 15 years. And then he did the sequel to the YouTube, you know, the movies that YouTube kid made, Fred. Do you know what I'm talking about? Jesus, I think we're both too old. Yeah, we're both too old, really.
Yeah, Fred was absolutely my... I didn't watch it, but that was my era of the internet. I definitely remember that. I remember seeing stuff at Hot Topic. That was a whole thing.
He directed Fred 2, Night of the Living Fred. So he didn't even direct the first Fred movie, which featured John Cena in an early role. John Cena, credited as WWE superstar John Cena. He's now like, you know, a legitimate actor.
I guess so. He was in Fast 10.
He was good in Peacemaker. He was very funny in that.
Yeah, I like John Cena. That sounded super shady, but I actually do like John Cena.
Yeah, there's something about it's like a cheat code when you're as huge as he is. Like everything you do is automatically funny. Like in Peacemaker, there were a couple scenes where he sat down at the piano and played "Home Sweet Home" by Motley Crue. And, you know, it was actually him playing the piano. And it's just hilarious to see this big man playing a piano like that. You don't even need a script or anything. It's just funny. It's like those memes of the muscular guys writing on laptops like that. That's some of the funniest shit ever. Just muscular men doing normal things is hilarious.
It's so funny that like both The Rock and John Cena, they were both in Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
And they're both like these legit actors now because I watch old wrestling clips just because they're funny and they make me feel good for 5 minutes.
Right.
So, need more of those. But I love some of my favorites are the ones of The Rock saying anything, especially the ones where he's not even like roasting anyone in particular. He just like, he had this whole thing where you talk about like pies. And of course, I don't know anything about wrestling except for when they would like yell at each other or talk trash or whatever. So
yeah.
I have no concept of anything about wrestling. I just like to watch them.
I honestly want
and interstitions.
Yeah, I want the WWE Network or I think it's on one of the streaming services that I don't always have. I think it might be on Peacock, maybe. I want a version of that content where it's only the interviews, because that's all that I really like. The actual wrestling is kind of boring, but just the like interstitials, the ring interviews, and
the music videos.
Yeah,
the whole the Slammy Awards. Terry Funk's album, where he just sings about being in Japan. That's the only part of the WWE I care about. Just anytime John Cena was rapping.
Right. Oh, and Dave Bautista has a movie career too. So yeah, this is, it's like a legitimate pathway to movie star.
You either become a movie star or a politician. There's no way.
Right. Or you know, die of like a steroid overdose. But or you're like Hulk Hogan and your sex tape, and then, you know, toppling democracy with Peter Thiel. You know, it's like there's so many.
God, I wish Macho Man was alive to do this trick.
I know. It kind of pisses me off. It's like he dropped that rap album, you know, but I feel like there was so much more. If he just hung around a little longer, there were so many more opportunities for him.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about Jury Duty. We put it off enough. The plot of this movie, Paulie plays, his character's named Tommy Collins. Probably the most normal Paulie Shore character name yet, right?
That's what I was thinking, too, because it is a name. It's Thomas. Right. It's referred to as Thomas, as opposed to, like, Grunk or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, or Bones, yeah.
Oh, it was Crawl. So we have Crawl, Bones...
I feel like Bones Stony is the weirdest, and that it goes
Bones
like
is definitely the weirdest because Crawl was a nickname. Bones was not a nickname. That was his name. His name was what, like Bones something. He had a right. last name.
He's unemployed. He's like a loser, right? He lives with his mom in a trailer park. So here's what I have to say about this. There's
so basically there's it's like 8 miles.
Yes, it was the inspiration for 8 Mile. one thing that I thought was interesting was I felt like there were a lot of contrivances in the plot. So like we all know the movie's called Jury Duty. We know that he's going to get jury duty, right? And it's like he's a loser and he doesn't have a job and he can't really get a job. We see that at the opening of the movie, he does this terrible strip routine where he's a milkman. Well, it's canonically terrible because everybody walks out in the middle of it.
What does he rub on his ass? So we see, let's just walk through this because this is the opening scene.
Yeah.
It's also the best scene. So right. it's not going to get better than this.
Yeah.
So it opens up in the strip club, right?
Yeah. It's like, I think you actually see, it's like one of the first things you see is a man's ass. And because I've seen Pauly's ass so many times, I was like, oh my God, are we opening on Pauly Shore ass? But it's not his. I should have known. It's like so, much more muscular. We do see it later. Yeah, it's true. But we don't literally open on it.
Yeah, so I think it is like an audition.
Mm.
And there are a few men auditioning. And then Pauly comes out and it's playing like the Milkman music or whatever. And he comes out in a Milkman uniform.
It's actually playing Pop Goes the Weasel, which is a pretty nice reference.
Oh, I was thinking it was just kind of like 50s Milkman music.
Yeah, you know, I feel like it. Okay. Yeah, it's layered.
There's an Easter egg.
The 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, they're not taking shit like this into account.
I wonder what the IMDb page is on this. Maybe I should, some trivia. That's a good catch. I didn't even notice that. Yeah, so he comes out to Pop Goes the Weasel, then it turns into like more strippery music with the beat.
It turns into Do You Want to Play by Extreme.
Yeah, this also, again, another Pauly Shore movie with an excellent soundtrack.
Yeah.
So he starts his routine. He rips his pants off. He can't get his pants off for whatever reason. He has like these milkman slacks and he can't get them off. And
he's also spilling like, a lot of milk. There's a lot of like milk being poured, which is like, probably doesn't smell great. So, I mean, I understand.
Yeah, he also spits it out on the audience. And then what he like takes whatever an audience member is eating and like, this is where you see a close-up of his ass. He like puts it on his ass. What is it? Is it grits? Cream of wheat?
Yeah, I don't know. Why is she eating that in the strip club?
Yeah, like, I'm in Detroit. I can see people eating grits at a strip club. But, like, I don't know. It doesn't really look like grits. It looks like something cream-based. So it's just, like, a lot of milk and milk-based items in the strip club for whatever reason. But then the milk theme goes on. Like, I think he chose this for his routine.
Yeah.
Tommy did because he just really likes milk. Because later on in the movie, he's drinking milk. So anyway, he does the routine. He goes and reads the board because all of the guys who got chosen for the audition are listed. And of course, what is his name? Is it like the Cream Machine?
The Cream Machine. Yeah, that's his stripper name. Yeah. Yeah. He's the only one to not get it. Also,
the Cream Machine did not get selected.
The strip club is owned by his uncle, who is played by Andrew Dice Clay. So that's, there you go. And I think his uncle is named like Sal or something. And so I'm like, is Pauly Shore in this movie canonically Italian? That's an interesting move.
Well, it's like in Twin Cities when the Barbarian Brothers just decide to be Italian and work at an Italian restaurant for no reason and then just put on Italian accents because they're these Italian cooks.
I'm really like,
why? It's just a choice. Why not?
I need to explain something real quick because we've been talking about the Barbarian Brothers for a while, but I think I edited out some of the references to them and now I regret that. So I just want to say that like parallel to our Pauly Shore exploration, we've also been doing on our own time, we've been doing a dive into the filmographies of the Barbarian Brothers.
In our last full episode, or not the goof ship one, it was the one before that, but we were talking, oh, it was in the Army Now, and every time we would mention something in the Army Now, I would say, oh, but in the Barbarian Brothers.
Right, and so I was like, the more we've mentioned them, the more I've been like, well, I shouldn't have edited this out, I was just trying to, like, save time. But now I'm like,
I will never stop talking about the
Barbarian Brothers. Yeah, people need to hear about this. So yeah, if you hear us mention the Barbarian Brothers again, it's because that's another of our
and also because fixations. They're also like big meaty guys who were bodybuilders and they just hung out and
yeah, again, like proving our thesis that just like huge men doing things is funny, like that those movies are hilarious.
Please go watch Double Trouble. It's actually better than Jury Duty.
I would agree. Yeah, Jury Duty. So the ranking, Jury Duty is definitely better than Deuce Bigelow, but I would put Double Trouble over Jury Duty.
So anyway, he doesn't get to be a stripper at this job. Right. But he's looking for a job, which is why.
And that's the only stripper is the only job he's willing to take. Like the next scene, he's at home with his mom, and she's like, "Well, what about these other jobs?" And he's, you know, he really has his heart set on becoming an exotic dancer. I also really like
the part where, so he's sleeping out in like the living room and his mom brings him breakfast and a coffee and she's like, I made you coffee. And he's like, oh, mom, that'll make me stay up all day. I did enjoy that.
Yeah. So he's, you know, like this, like it's very, very broadly drawn. He's this slacker character, you know, it's a Pauly Shore character.
Which, I mean, it's a Pauly Shore movie because he has a stepdad that he doesn't seem to particularly like.
Right.
He's a slacker. He doesn't want to do anything.
Doting mom.
I wonder how much of it was, again, that it was written a certain way and then they got Pauly Shore in it. And so then it became a Pauly Shore movie. And so now we need to add slacker, broken
it's like
family,
he has
stepdad.
It's like how Will Smith has his own script doctor. And so when Will Smith gets the role, he punches up the script with all the Will Smith stuff. It's like, that's what Pauly Shore
does. I really hope that Pauly Shore had that kind of pull. Because he did for Encino Man.
He did at some point, yeah. He did it for Encino Man. I don't know if he did by Jury Duty. But yeah, so I mean, like, we know, this is what I was talking about. We know that the movie's called Jury Duty. Obviously, he's going to get Jury Duty. And the thing about Jury Duty as a plot device is that when you get Jury Duty, you have to do Jury Duty. You know, like, or you're going to be arrested or fined. So, like, we don't need another reason, but they go through all of these reasons for him to go. Like, his mom first gives him the summons, and he's like, oh, it's only $5 a day. I don't want to do this. And he crumples it up and throws it away. And then,
which, by the way, is fucking fair. It is such, makes me so mad that they force you to miss work to pay you for just like a crap wage.
Right.
Oh, it makes me so mad. I've never had to actually do jury duty. I got summoned once and I showed up and then they had me just wait in a waiting room for a few hours and then let me go home. They only gave me $20 to do all that. I could have been at work.
Yeah.
So I'm completely on board with Pauly for that.
Yeah. So, you know, first he says, I'm not going to go. And then his stepdad shows up, you know, because Pauly Shore character always needs a stepdad. His stepdad, this becomes, at first I was like, what is this styrofoam shit? This does become plot relevant in another, again, a very contrived way. But his stepdad is like convinced that styrofoam, for some reason, he thinks styrofoam has a resale value. And he's like, you know, he has this Kramer-esque scheme about getting styrofoam and selling it. So he has this like truck full of styrofoam. And then he tells Tommy that him and his, I guess he's not his stepdad yet because him and his mom are going to go to Las Vegas and get married and they're taking the trailer. So now Pauly doesn't have anywhere to go. So the only place he could go is to stay with the weird, you know, remember there's like this shot of,
of
the neighbors.
It's just like a bald woman and her like head is
and like a little man.
Presumably her husband is a little person.
Yeah.
Come on, Tommy. We won't hurt ya. Yeah.
He decides to do jury duty because otherwise he has to stay with these neighbors. But it's like,
Again,
there's nowhere else for you to go.
It would be so much simpler if he just got the summons and had to go to jury duty, because that's what happens. Like, you have to go.
Then we wouldn't get that wacky scene of
that is true.
The little person and the big woman.
Yeah, there's some very strange, like, moments of surrealism in this movie. I think one of the things that I, not necessarily that, like, the thing with the neighbors was just kind of like.
It's very 90s. It was very 90s. Even that, like, 90s scene that was in music videos and, like, Nickelodeon commercials where it's just, like, kind of like a weird angle where it's, like, they're up here and your eye is down here and you're just, like, looking at.
Right. And the 90s was just very fascinated by, like.
Difference.
Yeah, like, if there's a little person, then something weird is happening, you know? It's not so much that part, but like, there's a lot of dream sequences and just, like, weird, like, really overtly stylized stuff going on that I thought made it kind of more interesting to watch than a more workaday movie. I don't know. I was like,
yeah,
it felt like the cinematographer was a frustrated film student or something.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff like that too. Like, even when he's riding his bike, there's kind of like a really stylish scene, or like stylized, I guess, scene where he's riding his bike back to the trailer park and they're playing a Pizzicato 5 song.
Yeah.
Which was so interesting because I'm listening to it. I'm like, is this Pizzicato 5?
Yeah.
I did not expect the Venn diagram of Pauly Shore and my love of Shibuya K to the center of that to be jury duty.
Yeah, not at all. I thought at first, because we downloaded, so we said before that this was on Tubi, and we waited too long to watch it.
It was taken off Tubi. Until literally a week ago.
Yeah.
But it is on YouTube free with ads, which is how I watch it, because I was not going to pay for this.
And we downloaded a pirated copy. So at first I was like, when I heard Japanese music.
You got it from completely legal means.
When I heard the Japanese music, I was like, is this like a Japanese print or something? It just seems so random. And when I saw it was Pizzicato 5, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It's 95. That was kind of when they were kind of hip at that time. But yeah, it's still surprising. It sounded like City Pop. And I was like, did Jury Duty get on the City Pop wave like 20 years early? Was this the first, or America's first introduction?
And it plays twice. It's kind of like the main song.
Yeah,
in
it's like
the movie.
It's like this movie's ZZ Top song. So there's little, like, you know, there's touches of artistry that are that are interesting. So he goes to jury duty. So we actually said something wrong. It doesn't actually start at the strip club. It starts with the guy who the case is about being apprehended.
Oh, right. I forgot all about this.
Yeah. So it's this rash of serial murders that everybody is talking about, called the drive-through killer, I think. It's these fast food employees who are being murdered. And this guy who is, like, right out of serial killer central casting. I feel like I've seen him.
He looks super familiar.
Before. Yeah, his name is Sean Whalen. He was in the first Got Milk commercial, according to Wikipedia. You know, he's just into, like, a lot of random stuff. This movie has a lot of that guys, you know, like a lot of character actors. We mentioned Stanley Tucci. I mean, Stanley Tucci has kind of transcended the that guy category. But, you know, Abe Vigoda is the judge. His dad is Charles Napier, who, if you look him up, you'll recognize him. I think he was he was in Austin Powers. He was the military guy who always sees Dr. Evil's spacecraft on the radar. You know, he just looks like a middle-aged military guy. Brian Doyle Murray, that's who I was thinking of. Bill Murray's brother, who was in, like, a bunch of stuff. He's one of the other people. Yeah, just, like, a ton of people. Oh, and there's a couple of that ladies, too. Shelley Winters plays his mom, which is, that's a surprisingly high profile person to cast in jury duty.
I would never have known his name, but the guy who plays Principal Beasley.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Reel is a bad guy for me. It was like him and Brian Doyle Murray look similar to me.
They do. Yeah. They're the same genre of person.
So it was just funny to see them in the same movie. I'm reading the Did You Know trivia. I'm sorry. It says Stanley Tucci hated the movie and was so frustrated during filming that he started writing his own screenplay just to give himself a good part. That screenplay later became his acclaimed directorial debut film, Big Night.
See, without Jury Duty, Big Night wouldn't exist. I have not seen Big Night, so I can't weigh in whether I think Jury Duty is better than... The actress, Billie Bird, this was her last, this was apparently her final movie role.
Oh, jeez.
So she's another recognizable like old lady in a lot of, she was in Home Alone. She's the woman in the airport that Kevin's mom is trying to get to give up her seat in one scene. She was also, of course, in Ernest State's Christmas. So, you know, a lot of holiday classics from the late 80s, early 90s. So anyway, a lot of recognizable people. Okay, yeah, so this guy gets caught, accused of serial killing. This ends up being the jury, of course, the trial that Tommy gets put on jury duty for. But I have another bone to pick here about jury duty process, because he shows up to the courthouse and there's a montage of him sitting on various juries.
Yes, I was like, this is not at all how it works. This is not how it works. They're not like, okay, well, we are going to find a trial for you out of all these trials that we're doing today. So
that's the beauty of jury duty, that you can go home if you get passed up. It's like, this is like hell. Right. You have to just wait until they match you with a trial. That's miserable. But they, I guess it's
get to the point where I like, you would just have to be like, I don't know anything about this. Just right. Serve this so I can go home. He's trying to get into a longer, because he heard that they put you up in a swanky hotel.
Right.
I think his mom said that, or somebody said that, if you get put on a longer, higher stakes trial. And so he's trying to get put on one of those. So he's basically like auditioning for trials, which again, not how the fuck
it works. Not at all how it works. And I have, like, I get that the point is that they want a series of gags, but this was one of the least funny parts of the movie. Like, they definitely, this movie's 88 minutes long. And it definitely could have been a tight 80. I think we could have we could have trimmed it even more. Or they could have done some stuff, because like, also there's this weird, pacing stuff where like, we barely get to know Tia Carrera after she shows up. And then we just sort of like expected to be invested in their friendship or whatever. It's a strange movie.
They don't even have a friendship. I'll go into that when it becomes relevant, but...
Right. So, okay. Anyway, he ends up getting... After he gets out of these other trials, he ends up being placed in the serial killer trial. And this is the one that he wants to do, because they're like, this is going to be a long, you know, we're going to sequester you, blah, blah, blah. I guess another thing to point out is this movie came out in the middle of the OJ trial. So it's like weirdly timely. It's satire of like... I feel like we don't... I mean... Obviously, there are still big high-profile trials, but maybe it's because I don't have cable anymore. This, like, media circus around trials, it feels like such a 90s thing, you know?
I think the closest thing, it's, like, weird because there's not really a media circus on anything, because media is so different, especially news media. But
because the media is sort of like a never-ending circus. So right, it's like
maybe the closest thing would be, like, Young Thug's trial, but even then, yeah. Does anybody care?
Right.
No.
Right.
Nobody cares about that. Or yeah, maybe then, like Diddy, whenever that finally gets put on trial.
Yeah. And then I feel like
that will probably be what it is.
I feel like the Trump trial could have been a circus, but they didn't allow cameras, you know, so there wasn't any like, you know, the coverage was all kind of after the fact.
And again, it was like, it wasn't, there's so many news outlets and there's so many ways to get news and there's so many ways to ignore the news. I didn't fucking watch that. Whereas everyone would have been watching the OJ trial. It would have just been on it everywhere you went.
Yeah.
Whereas so there's Trump, it's like, again, like who fucking cares?
Yeah. Yeah. So there, you know, there's some like, there's some satire that it's not necessarily like, it's not amazing or anything, but there is some, they try to have some social commentary in there.
I think it's also supposed to be like a parody of 12 Angry Men a little bit.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah, and that's actually,
I was texting mom about this too. I think it was because mom had to do jury duty.
Oh yeah.
And we were talking about how like neither of us could really even be put on a jury because we're both so opinionated about everything. I said something like it'd be like jury duty where I would keep holding it up and mom would be like 4 or 12 angry men, and I was like, well, I suppose. I suppose it's more like 12 Angry Men than Pauly Shore's film Jury Duty.
So he gets placed on this jury. They get sequestered. It turns out they don't put them in a swanky hotel. It is a swanky hotel, but they're in like the wing that's being renovated, and it's a shithole. You know, it's like there's cockroaches and, you know, all of the hijinks. They have to share rooms.
Yeah, he shares a room with his principal, which his former principal. I'm like, would they even put them on a jury together? I feel like that would be a reason to not have him be on that jury.
Right. And why would
you another juror?
And why does he only recognize him? I mean, I guess presumably he was like falling asleep or something during the selection process. But it seems weird that he would, because there's a whole long process of being selected for the jury. Like that was the last time I was called to jury duty. That's all I did. I just sat in the courtroom the whole day as they selected the jurors, and then I went home because I wasn't selected.
Yeah, that's what happened with me too. You know, I didn't even talk to anybody.
Yeah, why did he only recognize his principal when he walked into the hotel room, having spent an entire day in a room with him, presumably? But, you know.
It's so interesting that they decided to make a movie about serving jury duty, having never
participated which is a pretty,
in any part of jury duty.
It's a pretty universal experience that I think would be easily researched. but yeah, they just winged it. It says nothing. It does not reflect the jury duty experience in any way. So he has to bunk with his former principal. And of course, as you might imagine, Tommy was not a great student. And the principal is also just annoying because he listens to like motivational tapes all night and keeps Tommy up. This was the part of the movie where, again, my wife was like, what is this movie about? And she asked the same thing in the Army Now. And once again, I could only respond, jury duty. Like it's just the title of the movie.
but also environmentalism,
right? Yeah, murder. It's sort of, this is
it's
like a
murder mystery.
This part is kind of meandering because it just like just stuff happens. They just show stuff happening in the courtroom, and this is where if it was my job to tighten up this script, I would have planted some seeds for like what happens with the trial. I would have like had a little more of the cross-examination and stuff and kind of made it more clear that there was something weird, because as it is, it feels like there's a bunch of disconnected gags, and then Pauly Shore needs to like, the trial's going to wrap up and he needs a reason to extend it. And so he like pulls this reason out of his ass. It's just not very tightly plotted. And then also, like, we don't really see him interacting with the other jurors, you know, until they go into deliberations. So this is the part of the movie where I was like, why was Stanley Tucci billed so high? He barely has any lines.
Well, he was probably sitting there writing the script.
He was too busy writing Big Night, yeah. Oh, I remember. There's one plot important point. To get out of sleeping in the room with the principal, he makes a deal with the hotel manager that he will advertise the hotel the next time he shows up and walks past the press. And then they put him up in this presidential suite that for some reason is directly above the shithole that they're staying in. Like he can literally get out of his balcony and climb up and be on the presidential suite. And it's this like well-appointed deluxe accommodation right above where there's like cockroaches and stuff. It's very strange. So that's
the reason that Stanley Tucci's character is even serving on the jury. Remember when he was walking in and that guy was saying like, oh, I want to get out of jury duty. He like switches places with him.
Right.
Because it's like, it's alibi so that he can be on the jury getting this other person.
Which is also something convicted. I'm pretty sure you can't do. But again, like none of it.
Right. Exactly. Like how would that happen? Yeah. They don't look alike at all.
Okay, so I mean, so now they go into deliberations, and this is, like you said, this becomes the 12 Angry Men parody. This was the funniest part to me. So he's stalling it in all these ways. He gets elected the jury foreman because everybody's afraid of the killer or the accused killer retaliating. He goes to the bathroom because he's trying to stall desperately. So he's like loudly pretending to pee, and he's just like pouring a cup of water into the toilet over and over again.
Which, like, he didn't even need to do. He could have just gone in there and...
Right. It's incredibly stupid.
Just go in.
Yeah. And so while he's in the bathroom, they unanimously elect him jury foreman. So now he's like, he keeps stalling and stalling and trying to plant seeds of doubt. And again, this is where I would want stuff that happened in the trial to give him a reason to plant reasonable doubt. Because as it is, I think they would beat the shit out of him because he's just doing like, and there's this weird like back and forth of like, again, it's like yet another montage. And at some points, everybody seems to be having fun and they're like all dressed up.
Right, like there's one part, they have all of the fast food outfits on at some point. Yeah,
they're all like...
Where do they even get those outfits?
Right, they're like messing around with evidence and having a good time. And then the next time there's a non-montage scene, they're all like, I'm sick of this. You know, they're now they're at the end of their ropes. It's like, a minute ago, you were having a party. Like, what? So finally, Tia Carrera, she's like this earnest lawyer character. And I guess we're supposed to see some... I mean, obviously, Tommy has been trying to hit on her because he's a Pauly Shore character from day one. And she, you know, rebuffs his advances. But I guess we're supposed to be rooting for their relationship, much like In the Army Now. That was news to me.
And also, I mean, like, much like freaking Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Like, why would Tia Carrera be interested in either of these men? I know.
Kia was like, at all. Kia was like, how did Tia Carrera get typecast as a woman who's way out of the main character's league and at first kind of negs the main character and then goes from that to being like head over heels devoted in love with them? That is such a specific lane for this woman to be in. But it's, yeah, it's like every role. So she is like going to put her foot down. Like at first, I think she goes along with it because she's like, well, maybe she believes in the legal process. Right. So she calls him and is like, we have to make a decision tomorrow. And he's watching 12 Angry Men. And this is the fun. This is the part I was saying is the funniest part of the movie. He's watching 12 Angry Men and it gets to Henry Fonda's big speech. And he literally repeats everything that Henry Fonda says on the phone to Tia Carrera.
You are fingers. Are you his executioner?
I'm one of
them. Are you his executioner?
Perhaps you'd like to pull the switch.
Perhaps you'd like to pull the switch.
I feel sorry for you. What it must feel like to want to pull
the switch.
I feel
sorry for you. What it must feel like to want to pull the switch.
Ever since you walked into that room, you've been acting like a self-appointed public avenger.
Personally want it, not because of the facts.
You want to see this boy die because you personally want it, not because of the facts. You're a duckbill platypus.
What?
The wimple. The wimple.
Stop, Peanut. Get off. Stop it.
I had no intention of coming off like an executioner.
Peanut, this isn't funny.
I just had no idea you felt so passionately. I guess you know what you're doing.
Stop it.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'll see you tomorrow.
I say this is the funniest scene. It's also very stupid because I feel like 12 Angry Men is a famous enough movie that most people, especially somebody who's like in the legal profession, have probably seen it and would be like, isn't that Henry Fonda's speech from 12 Angry Men? But she doesn't recognize it. She believes it. Like, why is Pauly Shore suddenly so eloquent?
But then isn't that where the, so Peanut, we forgot to mention this.
Oh Lake yeah, his dog. Stoney. He has like this
Peanut,
amazing dog.
His dog. He has this like adorable little dog that loves Jeopardy.
Yes.
Much like Stoney.
Yeah. Again, the Pauly Shore script doctor had to get in the Jeopardy reference.
And so the dog changes the channel to Jeopardy because it can control the television with it. That was a whole other part where the hotel concierge or whoever it is, he's trying to show him the dog can do tricks and it can't do any of the tricks except it can turn the TV on with the remote. So anyway, he's watching 12 Angry Men. And then the dog switches it to Jeopardy. And so then he starts reading out the Jeopardy questions or answering them or something.
Yeah.
And one of them is Duckbill Platypus.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a reference in Biodome.
Right. This movie has way more layers than anyone gives it credit for. As this like last ditch effort to find a reason, this part is fucking nuts. This last ditch effort to find a reason to Carl Wayne Bishop, the guy who's being been accused, to find him not guilty. He disguises himself as a woman. So this is our second Pauly Shore drag.
I always forget about this scene. And then I even forgot about it until you just mentioned it. Like somehow it just always leaves my brain.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts. He disguises himself as a woman and sneaks in for a conjugal visit. And so so first, they keep gay panicking each other because first the defendant, at first he's like, oh, a sexy lady is here. And, you know, and Polly's like, no, no, no. And then he's like, wait a second. Like, so it's like they keep freaking out because they're in this gay situation. And then at the end of it, after they've, you know, had their conversation and they keep having to like, the guards are looking in. So they keep having to like pretend to be making out and having sex and stuff. It's this bizarre, broad physical comedy. And the guards are like weirdly invested in it. One of them is like, he's looking in and he's like, ah, to be young and on death row. And then at the end of it, Carl Wayne Bishop, after having been like, get me out of here, it's a man, he like propositions him. And then it's Polly's turn to gay panic. It's like, you can't gay panic each other like that. Like, it's one or the other. Does anything...
I do like that Polly is... It's like, he goes in there. He's like, what does he show him first? He shows him like... Oh, he shows him his armpits. And he's like, oh, I love French women.
Right, right.
And then he's like, wait, what about this? And then he like pushes his chest and like two oranges fall out. And then... What's his name? Carl Wayne Bishop?
Yeah.
Is that what his name
yeah.
is? He's like, I don't like implants. But it's like, it's not until he like shows him. He doesn't even like show his penis. He just like lifts his shirt up.
Right.
Or like the dress up and you can see that he has like briefs. Like he's in like little briefs.
Yeah.
And then he gets like disgusted.
Right.
There's a lot of transphobia.
Yeah. There's a scene at the beginning of the only person that liked Pauly's strip performance was a trans woman. Or I don't know if at the time that's what the intention was, but now we would consider that to be a trans woman. And then he's like, yeah. Ugh, you know, which is too bad because the weasel's woke. By the
way, right, that is Polly's catchphrase in this because all of the weasel catchphrases are gone.
Right.
Thankfully, hello, right. does not make an appearance in this, at least that I heard. But he does do this thing where he goes, oh, like 3 or 4 times in the movie, and that is the first time that it happened.
His catchphrases keep getting worse. Like, honestly, he should have quit while he was ahead with the weasel. Like, hey, buddy, is that that's iconic.
Those were the best ones.
Yeah. Weasel the juice. Like, you know, it like, it's just, he's trying to find something to replace it with, and he's coming up short. I'm realizing now that this whole scene with the accused killer does not result in any actionable information. Like, I'm looking at the Wikipedia summary, and it is not in the summary because nothing important comes out of this. Because what he does discover, so the killer would use a stun gun, and so would leave these, like, marks on their neck after shocking them. And what he just randomly notices, they drive past the next day after he tries to seduce the killer and doesn't get any useful information out of him. They pass by a picture of his mugshot and he notices the stun gun marks. And then he notices there's a picture of him from before on that same poster where he doesn't have the stun gun marks. And he like puts it together in that moment. So it's just like a total coincidence that he sees this and he's able to talk the rest of the jury into it. They're all ready to like, they're like, okay, great. Not guilty. You know, he successfully 12 Angry Men them. And then Tia Carrera follows Peanut upstairs to the luxury suite. And she realizes that he's been scamming them. And while they've been staying in the shitty accommodations, he's been in the presidential suite. And then it ends up being a mistrial. And then, is there anything else to say about that?
I don't think so, except that this is when they start really trying to make it where Tia Carrera is falling in love with Pauly Shore, which, like, it is like she's so upset with him for lying, which would make sense because he's scamming them and making the trial.
Yeah, but then it's like,
but there's also like a romantic element in there that like you're supposed to sense, but that isn't there.
Honestly, they did a better job making the Cassandra Wayne relationship make sense than this. So it's a mistrial and it's like everything seems to be over. But then Tommy, he still knows that he didn't do it. So he has this other epiphany because he goes looking for polystyrene with his stepdad. So again, it's a plot critical. This nonsensical polystyrene obsession becomes the key turning point of the plot. And he remembers, so this part is also kind of funny, because he remembers that Stanley Tucci like went on this rant about polystyrene and non-recyclable materials. So he's like, oh, wait a second. He sees all the fast food stuff and they're all in polystyrene containers. Every fast food franchise that somebody was murdered from.
And you can tell because the logo is like printed on the
polystyrene. So he makes this connection and realizes the killer was an environmentalist. But what is funny is that he gets this far and then consistently does not think that the Stanley Tucci character was the killer. His name's Frank. So first he goes to Tia Carrera. Her name's Monica, but she's mad at him and she hangs up on him. So then he goes to Frank, and Frank is being like real creepy this whole time. And he's like explaining to him what he found. And he keeps like,
well, previous to that, Frank had come home and the guy that he had switched places with him was for some reason living in his house.
Yeah.
Did they explain that was going to happen? Because at the beginning, he kind of like pushes him to the side. So now we think, okay, well, he is in jury duty now in this person's place. But why would the guy be living in his
house? I don't know. Or I think it might have been the guy's house, but I don't know why he was there. I don't know. If somebody else understood this movie better than us, let us know.
Right. And then, but also like he knows where to find Frank.
I'm thinking it might be the guy's house because name, because his name actually isn't Frank. Because
he would have his address.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So I don't understand why he's there. I guess he's tying up loose ends. I don't know. So he knocks the real Frank out and Pauly comes to his house and is like explaining this whole thing. He trips on the real Frank's body.
You can't leave your shoes lying around. Someone's liable to break their neck.
Like he keeps missing the actual point. And then of course, Frank manages to get him and Tia Carrera and he's gonna off them. And then Peanut saves the day. I was watching this and I was like, okay, obviously Peanut's gonna save the day. They've been planting the seeds for this Wonder Dog. And you know, like we keep seeing Peanut's like running after the car. And then we keep cutting back and forth to Peanut making his way to where Tommy is. So it's like obvious that the dog's gonna save the day, but I'm like, how's the dog gonna do it? It is literally jumps in the air and tackles Stanley Tucci, this tiny chihuahua. Tackles him and that's what does it. He also gets distracted on the way by Jeopardy, which I also thought was funny.
I do like the part, so they're in a library like a law library, presumably.
Yes, it's a law library.
And they get tied up. Stanley Tucci's character ties them both up to a post in the library, and then they are trying to get the attention of the guard, and Paulie's like, I got it, and then he just like kicks a bunch of bookshelves over. The guard hears the noise of the bookshelves being knocked over, and so he comes to investigate, and then a bookshelf falls off.
So they manage to overpower Stanley Tucci. I will just say, these movies, like, I feel like politically keep moving farther to the right, because now we have this weird, like, anti-environmentalist agenda in this movie.
It's so funny, too, because I was thinking about that also, how it's like, you know, obviously, without the whole murder aspect of it, it's not absurd anymore to be so upset about non-recyclables.
Right,
Seeing as they're literally one of the things leading to our inevitable destruction.
Yeah, our current climate crisis. It's like every summer is going to be the hottest summer we've ever experienced for the rest of our lives.
Right.
It was a weird flex for them to be like, and the killer is an environmentalist.
And it will get even stranger when we watch Biodome 2, which I think is just the next movie.
So we find out that he committed the murders and was on the jury so that he could let himself off. Basically, it was all part of the scheme. You know, he framed Carl Wayne Bishop. Then the movie kind of abruptly ends.
Oh, they do one of those stupid wrap-up, here's where they are now things. I hate those so much.
Yeah, my favorite part. Okay, so there were two things about this that made me laugh. One was, I loved the fact that now he's a successful stripper, and yeah, the only okay, thing he yeah. needed to do was just have a different theme. So now he's judge themed, and he's wearing like a big long judge's wig and has a gavel yeah. and stuff. And now he's now it works. Like, he didn't have to change anything other than the gimmick. Like, his problem was yeah. the cream machine, and that's
I'm
it.
I'm sure it wasn't even the gimmick per se. It was just like that he just doesn't need to have milk involved, because right. I feel like the audience was into it.
Until he started dumping milk all over the place.
Yeah, like, he kind of lost them a little bit because he couldn't get his pants off.
Right.
But I'm sure he could have recovered from that had right. he not started spitting whole milk on everyone.
They needed a judge-themed stripper. That's what the people wanted.
I mean, that is amazing.
And then the very last shot of the movie, I like this because I agree that this gag is overdone, especially in movies from the 80s and 90s and Van Halen videos for some reason. But but the Peanut is on Jeopardy. But I mean, obviously, they can't get Alex Trebek and stuff to do a cameo. So what they do is, it's just a still image of Peanut edited onto Jeopardy.
Like, it's not, I didn't notice that.
It's just a still frame. And that's Jury Duty.
Yep.
It is, you know, obviously it's not a great film, but I've spent 88 minutes in much worse ways.
I've spent longer in much worse ways.
It resulted in Stanley Tucci's career. So, you know, well, how mad can we be at it, really? Because they gave us Stanley Tucci. The Pizzicato 5 song was great. Actually, one thing that I think would be fun to do in a future minisode is, you know, Paulie's always talking about wanting to make sequels to his most popular properties. So I think it would be fun to like pitch some sequels to these movies. Jury Duty, I want a sequel to Jury Duty, the Paulie Shore movie, and the recent Jury Duty TV series. Of the guy who's actually on, he thinks he's on a real jury and it's all actors. But I want it to be, instead, it's a bunch of people who think they're real people who think they're on a real jury, and then they're on it with Pauly Shore.
Oh, yeah, that's a better idea. I was gonna pitch an animated Jury Duty sequel called Jury Duty Tootie.
Why not both, right?
Yeah, right. Because one could be a series and the other one is an animated feature length.
Yeah, exactly. The Jury Duty Cinematic Universe, or the I guess the Pauly Shore Cinematic Universe would be a better idea, seeing as Jury Duty was famously a
theory, but speaking of the Pauly verse, so
yeah.
We know that Peanut loves Jeopardy. We know that Stoney loves Jeopardy. Do you think that in this universe, the Jury Duty universe, Peanut is Stoney?
It's possible. Yeah, because that's also like, Stoney's smart, and this incarnation of Pauly is a dumbass. So like, maybe somehow his brain was like, ended up in the dog's body.
You know, that's something interesting, because like in Jury Duty and Biodome for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What was he in the Army Now? He was kind of stupid. Yeah, he was stupid in
it. Yeah, he's pretty stupid in that. Yeah.
But in Encino Man and Son-in-Law, he was really smart.
Yeah, like, you know, sort of like non-traditional, like we talked about, you know, possibly neurodivergent, but had like computer skills and an interest in cavemen.
Yeah, but I mean, in Encino Man, he's like canonically smart. And in Son-in-Law, he's a whole like computer hacker, and he's been in school for a long time studying a whole bunch of different things.
Right.
Which, yeah, I would say isn't necessarily traditionally smart, but he's able to do that.
Yeah.
So he kind of like de-evolved his character when he stopped being the weasel.
Yeah. Which is ironic, because I feel like the whole reason why he said he wanted to stop doing the weasel was because it was too stupid.
Yeah, but all of the weasel characters are smart.
Well, the next movie we watch, I think this is as dumb as he gets from what I've seen.
Yeah, there are multiple scenes where they're smelling each other's farts to determine what they ate. So that's a certain kind of smart, though.
Right.
If you can determine what someone ate from a smell.
That is true. That's almost like Sherlock Holmes in a way.
It's just misused. That's all.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. Do you have any other thoughts about Jury Duty to wrap us up?
No, that just jogged the memory of when he's talking to Frank at the end, and he says that he like Holmes and Watson, like he uses it as a verb, where he's like, I did some Holmes and Watsoning or something. Like that. I did like that part.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I have to say.
Well, this will be my first time watching Biodome, so I'm excited.
I cannot wait. It's all downhill from here, because I think after that we have to watch like Pinocchio.
Yeah. We should see how much, if any, we can find of the Pauly TV series, and then based on that, that can either be its own episode or it can be a mini-sode. I'm sure there's some other. I think he did like a comedy another comedy album or something in the mid, like, which. Imagine, we didn't even like the one from his peak.
I know. Yeah.
But, I don't know.
We should also probably do some more Jam in the Van.
We should. Deep dives. Yeah, we should. Yeah. Especially now that I think we've officially caught up on the Totally Pauly content that's out there. We've passed it. So we're out of the Totally Pauly era 100%. But not, which is not to say we won't talk about it again, because, you know, that is an important part of our entertainment diet. if you want to, we'll be back in a couple weeks. If you want to follow us in the meantime, you can find us on Instagram at Dystopian Graham. Find us on YouTube at Dystopian Dance Party, on the web, dystopiandanceparty.com. I forgot last time to mention, you can email us at heybuddy@dystopiandanceparty.com and leave us a review. I always forget to say that too. We're probably best about keeping track of Apple Podcasts, but I also follow us on Spotify. So if you do that, I'll keep an eye out. That'd be great. Right now we're sitting at 5 stars, mostly because I think the only people who reviewed us are known personally to us. So you can join, you can join them or not. It doesn't, you know, we're fine. But if the spirit moves you, we'd appreciate it. All right. We'll see you later. Bye. Like the